All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for another day. Thank you for providing for us in every way. And we're here today to learn from you, to worship together, to lift each other up, and to hear from your word. So let the words that come forth be only that which glorifies you and serves for our instruction and edification. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and it's the time that we set aside to honor those who gave their lives in service to our country, and in effect gave their lives for us. Of course, that the only one who really gave his life for us would be Jesus, in the sense that we all understand it as Christians. But these two, in that same spirit of sacrifice, have laid down their lives to allow us to be who we are and where we are today. And whether every conflict was justified or necessary is an important question that we should ask ourselves all the time. But overall, our country has been a source for good and on the side of good. And those who have fought and died are worthy of our respect. It's also an election year. And if you don't know that by now, you must have been, as some say, living under a rock. Texas held its municipal elections also this year, and that affected some of us very directly, as they were discussing things like public transportation and so forth in a couple of cities. So that will tell you right there that the municipal elections, every election has an effect. And those often have a more direct effect on our life than the bigger things that we all get invested in. I was very disappointed to see how few people turned out in those municipal elections, because they really do have a direct effect. Now, why am I talking about that up here in the pulpit? Well, because we're going to be talking about government today, and we have a very unique situation, and we have the ability as citizens to take part in our government in ways that historically have not been true, and we ought not to waste that. But the party primaries, of course, were concluded back in March, but of course they weren't concluded because you have some runoffs. If you haven't done early voting, which was this past week, you still have an opportunity on Tuesday, which is the actual election day, to get out there and choose your preferred candidate for the general. Some people don't care. Some people feel like it has no effect. It doesn't really matter anyway. But every one of us should care. And because we have that privilege that I just spoke of to participate in our government, we have the means to right the wrongs, to be a part of standing up for what's good and right. But sometimes things are not going to go our way. And what do we do in that case? Well, we have every right to protest. And of course, we have the right to vote. But what we don't have is the right to be lawless. And the scripture makes that very plain. And there may be times when we have to obey a higher law, that is the law of God. But that's not a situation we find ourselves in too often, at least yet. It may become more frequent. We've been in the study of Romans, and specifically, we just finished up with chapter 12, which talks about our relationship to God, living as a living and holy sacrifice, being engaged in renewing our minds, which leads to a transformation process, our relationship to each other, humility, serving each other using our God-given spiritual gifts, and loving and honoring one another. Yes. Well, it's a we might not have. I wonder how it would even. Let me see. Well, I don't know. Oh, that's what you're talking about. Okay. Well, it'd be help if I turn it on. Okay. Praise God. You had me scared there. I thought we were. Okay. Yeah, I was concerned we were streaming dead air, which we have done before. Okay. Praise God. Where am I? Okay. Relationship to each other. Relationship to each other. Yeah, I know. I just got to figure out where it was. Yep. And then he goes on to talk about our relationship to the world. Mercy, having empathy, again, operating with humility, trying to be at peace with each other, and choosing good over evil, choosing good even when we are having evil done to us. And it's, I don't think it's any accident that he then moves into talking about being in subjection to the government, because of the type of government that they lived under and some of the things that were going on. So he wants us to know that the government is established by God. How can that be? I mean, we think about some of the bad things that our government has done, and it, even some of the, and certainly if you look at the Roman government, they things that they did was not good. They were persecuting Christians, but nothing can happen. And you know, if you go back to the account of Jesus before Pilate, when Pilate said, "Don't you know I have the power to crucify you?" And Jesus said, "You don't have any power except that the Father gave it to you." I'm not quoting that quite right, but that's essentially what he said. So nothing happens that is, you know, that God's not aware of, that God's not in control of. So he says that's there, that government is there for good, and we are required to submit to its authority. It's there for good and not for evil. And yes, it has the right of punishment, and it does have the right to collect taxes. And so we are to give, and this kind of summary, we're to give respect to whom it is due. Anyway, before we've kind of said what it says, now let's actually read it. Starting in verse 13, every person is to be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist have been appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists that authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of that authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword in vain. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of that wrath, but also because of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. God is the supreme authority. He is over everything. We could go back to chapter 11, verse 33, where he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how unfathomable his ways." Nothing exists without his permission. Now, we teach this regularly with regard to our personal lives. We encourage each other with the statement or the idea that, you know, God's in control. He's got it. He knows everything. He's not surprised by anything. Well, that applies on a macro scale, too. It's just as true of everything that's happening in the world. Nothing has escaped his notice. He's not saying, "Oh man, I didn't mean for that to happen." It's all part of his plan. It applies no less to the whole world than it does in our personal lives. Nothing ever happens outside of his control. Therefore, that means he has also established the government under which we live. And despite its flaws, and we all know it has flaws, we might disagree somewhat on what those flaws are, but we all agree that there are flaws. Most of us, I think, believe that ours is pretty good. And many of us believe that God established it. But what we believe really doesn't change the truth either way. But we may want to consider Paul's Rome. As he is writing this, Nero is Caesar, I believe, is the leader, and just an awful, evil person. He put himself, all the Caesars did, they put themselves in place of God. And it was not uncommon for bribery and graft to be happening. There's a story in Acts, or an account in Acts, of Paul under Felix the governor, and he's being held longer than he should have been because Felix is hoping that that he's going to get a bribe out of Paul. Slavery was built into the system. It was a very class-aware system. There was Rome brutally subjected other nations, including Israel. Christians were persecuted. Jews were persecuted. Nero would make human torches out of candles out of people to light his garden with. And how in the world can Paul say, under this oppressive, awful system, which may have had some features in it that we have even borrowed today, but overall, this is not some place this is not a government you necessarily want to praise, and yet he says it's established by God as a force for good. And what he's saying is that's what government is supposed to be. And we are to recognize that it was put in place by God for that purpose. And therefore, we operate under its authority. Otherwise, we're going to be found to be opposing God. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean about our own country's founding? Well, there have been books written on that. I'm not going to try to go there today. All I will say is that it was very evident that our founders were using Christian principles. Many of them were strong Christians. Not all of them, but most of them. And they felt like they were doing the right thing. And we know that God will use even our mistakes to great effect. So was our coming into existence perfect? Probably not. But God certainly used it. And certainly those who were going about it believed that they were establishing something good. But he says, if you're found opposing God, you're going to suffer the consequences. He established it. He established it to oppose evil. He established it to promote good and to provide justice. It has the sword for a reason. But he says, not just for this reason, but also for conscience sake. In other words, we're doing it not because we're afraid of what happens if we don't. And this, goes beyond the whatever we may do in subjection to our physical government. This would also be applicable to the things that we do in service to God. If we're doing them out of a fear of punishment, then we've missed the point. But not simply because we're afraid, but because we desire to do good. So why does Paul feel like it's important to offer this warning? Well, of course, it's the Word of God, and it's ageless and contains principles that we need to understand today. But also in his day, there was a faction of Jews, especially in the area around Jerusalem and Judea, that was advocating for revolt. And so he's basically saying that's not the answer. And there are still people in our country that are moving that way. And again, that's another debate I don't really want to get into right now. But it seems pretty evident that only under extreme conditions is that something to be considered. And the conditions were pretty severe in the nation of Rome. But he says that's why we pay taxes. Not because they're always just, not because they're always perfect. They're going to get used for things that we don't like. And and I've even asked myself in years past, should we be paying taxes knowing that some of them might be used to kill babies? That's a tough one. But you don't think Rome used some of the money they got to do some of the awful things that they did? Yeah, they did. But taxes in their proper use are to facilitate necessary functions, things that we all need. Thus, he established that, and it's fitting to pay them in order to see those things get done. So give officials their due. You know, pay the taxes. And, you know, most of us balk at that. Nobody likes to have their money taken away. I know there's every year in our neighborhood, the Facebook group explodes around this time of year with people who got their appraisals. A little, most of them got last month, came in. And every year somebody's fussing about the appraisals. And maybe sometimes they're not right. I'm not saying they're always right. But I wonder, just to kind of get back on that soapbox a little bit, how many of those same people that are fussing actually went and voted in the election that decided that had to do with policies and things that have to do with how those taxes get charged and what they're used for? But, you know, we have, you know, custom fees, et cetera, things that we have to pay, and respect. And this can be hard, depending on which where your persuasions lie. You might be having a real difficult time respecting our leadership right now, or maybe the administration before. You have a real hard time. You had a real hard time respecting those individuals. But what we do, what we respect, is the office, realizing that God has put it in place, and there's a certain appropriateness to respecting that office. But we all live, first and foremost, as believers under God's authority. So we obey the laws. Obviously, we obey the criminal laws. But also the civil laws. And there may be some room here for breaking unjust laws. I'll get into that in a little bit more detail here as we wrap this up. But we conduct ourselves honestly in everything that we do, in how we fill out that tax return, or in the things that we, if we're not in a situation to pay taxes, maybe we're applying for government assistance. Well, that's okay. But are we telling the truth? Are we putting on those forms the truth about our situation? And it's tempting. It was tempting for me back when I was in that situation to kind of slant things in my favor, because just not report certain things. We learn to say what will benefit us the most, and to conceal anything that might cost us something. But Christians are held to a higher standard, and that standard is the truth. And the consequences are just when we don't do that. Everyone faces those temptations. And how many people, how many times have we seen in the news where somebody falls for this very thing? We're being watched. You know, I'm not talking about Big Brother. You got some of that going on too. But we're being watched by those who don't believe. You want to be on TV? Be an outspoken Christian lawbreaker. You'll get your 15 minutes of fame. But we should instead be known for our high standards. So, what about unjust government? How are we supposed to approach that? It seems pretty cut and dry from what we just read. But there are some instances where God seems to have anointed rebels against evil rulers. You could arguably say that that was the case with Moses, though in that case, God himself did all of the violence, bringing the plagues. You have David against Saul, even though Saul really brought about his own fall, And David actually remained respectful through all of that. But what about Jehu? Now, if you don't remember the story of Jehu, he is, at the time of King Ahab, was a wicked king of Israel, and God specifically anointed him to take down that evil king and his wife Jezebel. But mostly, what you see is the servants of God working within the authority of their government. You have Joseph. Joseph was mistreated at every turn from the time that he was thrown into the pit to the time that he was left in the prison, even though he had done nothing wrong. You have David. Now, remember what God did with that. Joseph ends up being the second in command of Egypt and being responsible for the rescue of the people of Egypt as well as his own people. You have King David, who always gave reverence to God's anointed king, and even when he was given the opportunity to kill him, he wouldn't do it. You have Daniel and his friends in Babylon after they had been brought into captivity. You have Queen Esther under King... I can't remember that name. And, of course, you have Paul, who is giving us these instructions and who himself... always conducted himself in subjection to the authorities. He also used his citizenship to his advantage, though, when he had the opportunity. God's law has to come first. Again, go back to Daniel and his friends. They operated in subjection to the government, but when it came down to having to choose between obeying the law of the king and obeying the law of God, they chose the law of God. And God delivered them. You have the apostles who, as they are accosted by the Jewish leaders and told that they can't speak in the name of Jesus anymore, they said, who are we going to obey, God or you? We're going to obey God. A little paraphrase there. You had, at that time, the early Christians and Jews were being required to, all of Rome was required to worship Caesar, and the Christians refused to do it. Now, they kind of got a pass because they said, well, we'll pray for you. And that was, you know, being a pagan society, they, you know, pray to one more God for me. Okay, we'll let that pass. But there does come a time when the law of God and the law of government conflict that you have to choose the law of God. Are we there yet? I don't think so. There may be specific instances where we are. I think we've seen some court cases that would qualify. But even that, they used they worked through the system. They didn't go outside the system. Where's the line? I would say the line is when you are being required to do evil or where you're required to deny God. Those are things that we cannot do. But we have here in this country a unique blessing. We have perhaps the greatest power of a people of citizenry ever in history. We have the freedom of religion. We have the right to speak freely. And we have the right to have some say in what happens in our government by means of our vote. And with this comes a responsibility to value what we have been given, to understand it, to know how it works. and to use it wisely and not bury it. Don't like how things are? Do your homework. Check it against God's truth, against God's word. And at a very minimum, the minimum we can do is take what we've learned into the voting booth and use it to vote for what's right and what's good. And I don't have any problem saying, if you hadn't done that, if you haven't learned, if you haven't done your homework, please stay home. Don't mess it up. I'm not in favor of everybody should vote just because they can't. Vote if you're ready to vote, but be ready. Final thoughts. Yes, government is from God. Government, however, is not God. There is no politician who will be able to save us. We get disappointed when we do vote, lose, but remember who is in control. Keep your focus on God. Because when hearts turn to Him, He's going to sort it all out. So as we sang in our hymn today, let there be revival in this land. That's where our salvation comes from. So thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for showing us how to live in every aspect of our life. Help us as we go forth today to be witnesses for what is good, to be witnesses for you. With all of our conduct and everything that we do, draw people to the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. There's a squirrel out there. Would you, I don't have...